disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Monday, January 20th, a day that will live in infamy. I hope not. Coming to you live and in color from, where am I? Richmond, Virginia. We're down here for the gun rally. Going to ask a favor of all of you out there. Help carry this show today. I really haven't had a whole lot of time to get prepared for the show and what we're going to talk about and do what I would normally do. We got about 25 of us, I think, that are here at the hotel. And we're making pre-action plans. That's what we've spent the last half hour doing, pre-action plans, exactly, how to make sure you have your buddy and got your buddy's back covered and what happens if you get separated from everybody and, don't take the bait if somebody's trying to, you guys know what it is. So Mark Trump and Joe Allen have done a really, really good job of getting that whole thing organized for us. And really, really pleasantly pleased and surprised at the number of people who have in fact showed up. We rolled in last night, but it's the slowest ride. Listen, I always thought women were bad, riding with women. Riding with men, jeezy, criminy. I don't know how many times we stopped. We turned a 7-hour trip into 14 hours. Guys had to stop, go to the bathroom, then somebody needed something to eat. And then about 9 o'clock, and couldn't believe 9 o'clock we pulled into Cracker Barrel to eat. 9 o'clock at night. So, listen, these guys need some, they need some boot camp. They need some direction. They toughened up. We're not very battle prepared yet. Let me just walk down through here a second. Let show you. Here's a crowd. I can flip it around, but there's Gary. And Roger actually made it rather than sitting at his kitchen table drinking coffee or whatever. He actually made it.
I'm going to tell you, they got us up early here, 6:36. My bed and my sheets were so warm and cozy, and it was just beautiful. And somebody said we had to leave at 6:30, something about some rally on the Second Amendment. I don't know, but it's going to be a good day.
So here we are. We're down here. Got old John over here, Rich. Got a crew. Got a good crew of them. So, there's been all kinds of for lack of a better term, disinformation. I think there's a lot of disinformation going on out there. You wouldn't believe the number of people. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just walking here, walking and talking. The number of people. God bless you all. I'm not criticizing anybody, all right? But the number of people who have done, for lack of a better term, I don't want to call it fear-mongering, but that's really what the government's in charge of, that fear-mongering, right? The last thing the government wants is for a lot of people to show up. So there's been a lot of rumors out there that you got to watch out for this, you got to watch out for that, and you got, well, all that stuff is true, and we come here with our eyes wide open. But I said to somebody the other day, because they were talking about, Coach, you know what you're heading into down there, Coach? You know, that's a government setup. They're going to yield you. They're going to put you in there like a bunch of cattle, and then you got, yeah, I get it. But folks, if we're scared now. If we're scared now, what's it going to be like when we really have to fight? So at some point, you have to move out of your comfort zone and move beyond threats and worried about, the Antifa and, false flags and guys in there. What's it? All they say, guys, they get in the middle of you. They infiltrate you. And, you got to watch. There's going to be snipers up on the roof and they're going to set off atomic bombs. And I mean, folks, I've heard it all, right? I've heard it all. But I think it's important that we be here, and I'm glad that we came, because this is far huger than what you even understand. I was saying to the guys in the van as we were coming down here. You listening? I wonder how many sermons there were yesterday about the right to keep and bear arms. I wonder how many churches talked about that. I wonder how many pastors talked about the importance of the Second Amendment and why we One of the issues we're dealing with is we're so ambivalent, I think, about the church. Ambivalent. That means feel both ways. About weapons, about guns. Barren guns, Second Amendment. Is that Christian or not? Is it? Are Christians supposed to have guns? Are we allowed to talk about guns? So that's kind of stuff that we're dealing with here. Here's our crew coming out here. And we thought it was important enough. How are you doing, man?
How about you?
Good. God bless you. You've come a ways. Yeah. Are you alone? I'm sorry.
Just got my voice.
All right. Well, you want to follow us. We got it kind of mapped out and everything down there. Good. Man, I just lost my train of thought. So listen. If you can't run with the big dogs, then you're not really much of a hunter, right? We're not here to be hunters, and we've gone through the whole thing about how to, how we're supposed to respond, and we're not carrying any long guns. We're not out here, dressed in uniforms. We've got our cross hats on. It's cold, so those of us do have on Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt. So we do have those on, but Jeff's got his on. Jeff's wearing his. Mike, we're in the New Beginnings Ministry van, but we got about a 20-25 minute ride down to the place where we're going.
People in the restaurants were really liking the shirts and asking about them, and they're like, "I got to get a supply." I'm just like, "Sell."
Get those out there. So again, there's old Ray LeBlanc made it down.
Hey,
Mike Blake,
see everybody.
Ray's a vagabond. He's in New Orleans one day, and he's in Richmond, Virginia the next. He and Jane
wants us, but we are there. Right?
But they're there. Yeah. So. I used this illustration the other day. I said, you know, the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Constitution talks about inalienable rights, God granted rights. Well, folks, the First Amendment to the Constitution, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are not rights that are granted to us by the government. The right to keep and bear arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, ask yourself a very simple question. Were we allowed to have guns before there was government? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to let that settle in on you. Were Americans permitted to have guns before there was a government? Well, the answer to that question is, of course, Coach. Why? Because it was an unalienable right. I mean, it can't be taken away from it. Same thing about speech and freedom of religion and freedom of association and the right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. And somewhere along the line, the narrative that's playing out before all of us is government good, people bad. Government good, people bad. And if you begin to just go on the internet and you begin to read articles, notice how many times you'll hear the word militia, like they're trying to paint those of us who are, what's the right word? Second Amendment minded as there's something wrong with us. See, there's something wrong with us. It's the government. The government's good. The government always does the right thing. The government would never overstep its bounds. And how dare these people, these white people in particular, how dare they show up here in Richmond, Virginia to argue with the government? See, that's where we are, right? Government's right. We're wrong. Now, luckily, one of the reasons that we chose to come down here, I'm talking about me, is I wanted to bring some Christian sanity to this whole thing. And those of you who've been watching the show a while know that I said this, that the pushback in America was going to come from the NASCAR crowd. That's what's down here, the NASCAR crowd. So we mean, Coach, NASCAR crowd. Well, those who have God tattooed on their right arm, or God bless America, but they're not really Christians. They don't have the restraining of the Holy Spirit. And they're the ones who are going to strike out in not the right spirit. And then, as I said, there's this confusion in the church about whether or not guns are, is that godly? Do Christians really carry guns? Are we supposed to? And that's why I ask, how many of you yesterday heard sermons in your church about guns and the right to bear arms are needed to defend the Second Amendment? So there's really, really confusion and ambivalence in the church about weapons. So we wanted to come down and represent and let the folks that are down here know that there are Christians who believe it's okay to carry guns. That's our God-given inalienable right. Inalienable meaning can't be taken away. Cannot be taken away. And that's really what's going on here. And we're finding out as we get down here, you know, this is a suburb. A lot of Virginia, Northern Virginia, is a suburb of Washington, D.C. You know what works in Washington, D.C., right? All those government bureaucrats. So the elections have flipped down here, and they've gone a little bit more liberal or leaning to the left because of all the government workers. And so it's you have a Virginia that is Southern Washington, D.C., and then you have the rest of Virginia. And now you got Charlottesville, and their problem is a university there. University of Virginia is there. You have pockets of liberalism, but for the most part, you got the good old boys in Virginia and the cities. And because they won the last election, the cities now think that they have the right to tell people what they can do. So I've rambled. Let me come right over here a minute. Hey, Roger, Mark, Jeff, somebody talk to America here. What are you doing here, Mark?
I simply came to stand up for...
I don't know if you guys can hear Mark or not. Because here's the microphone, Mark. Let me take a sec. Go ahead, man.
Simply came to stand up for the rights of the people. Government has already gone way too far. We just need to take and be responsible for what is ours.
Amen. Bobby Lee. Come here real quick. Bobby Lee. The world famous Bobby Lee has made it all the way down here. Yes. What are you doing here, Bobby?
We are here to, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're stepping into the face of the Antifa God haters, baby killers, and all of these people that want to take, come into your house, kill your kids, and take your guns. That's why we're here.
That's pretty much the way it is, isn't it?
That's about right.
That's right. At some point, we got to make a stand. We hope it's peaceful.
Yes, absolutely. We want to leave here. We want to go back home and be home this evening. We hope the God haters can contain themselves so that can happen.
Amen. Thanks for being here, Bob. Here's Jeff Klein.
The one thing I've been reading here lately, Robert Klaus's book, Time to Stand. In the book, it talks about it's time for the Christians to stand. It's time we take a stand against evil. And I would highly suggest Robert Klaus of the book, Time to Stand. It is a great book. And it's just full of wisdom.
I swear Jeff's getting $1 for every book it's been sold.
I am.
It's unbelievable.
But it is good. I had a lady in a restaurant last night. I was telling about it. She wrote down the book at the cashier at the Cracker Barrel and said, my husband's going to the gun show, and we're going to order that book.
Robert, you send him some money, Robert. Will you do that?
Please, Robert.
Buy a car off of him or something. Anything good here. Here's old Larry. Larry's come all the way. Why are you here, Larry?
I am here because I think this is a perfect opportunity. Now that so many people have become what they call woke, and that so many people are going to be in town here, we can use this as a springboard for the other great activities and the other great movements that are just in fledgling stage to get going. Because once people are woke, maybe we can get them to take a two-track trail and put effort in on more than just one thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Larry. That's definitely a unifying, I don't know if it's spirit's the right word, but just something crazy that's going on. Let me open up the queue here. Anybody want to jump in here and say something? Please, somebody come in here and say something, or I'm gonna run out of things to yaddle about.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I'm going to read you scripture here. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 16.
Okay.
He that heareth your heareth me, and he that despiseth you despises me, and he that despiseth me despises him that sent me.
Amen. Amen. So this is, as we always say, Jeff, there's two sides to this battle, isn't it? You're either on one side or the other. Jesus himself said, you're either for me, you're against me, you either gather, you scatter. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And how did we reach the place in the United States of America where a non-constitutional right, abortion, which was found in what they call the penumbrums of the Constitution or the gray areas, the clouds of the Constitution, the right to murder a baby, is defended from the highest levels to government of government. But the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, guns specifically listed in an inalienable right in the Second Amendment, our government is against the people on that one. That doesn't even make sense, does it? The right to keep and bear arms is clearly delineated in the U.S. Constitution. Where is the right to an abortion? It's hidden in the clouds, right? It's hidden in the clouds. Oh, where are we going here? Oh, are we going to get in here? Am I supposed to get in my van? Is that, huh?
They want to pull back by the motorhome. Everybody get a visual of everybody's vehicle.
Okay, we're in the strategic. Hang on, let me throw this thing in here real quick. I'm sorry, folks. Anybody else other than Jeff? Come on in here. Speak now, forever hold your peace.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The Maine Salters. We can't be there, but we are praying for your safety today.
I'm sorry, Sarge. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate all the information that you've been forwarding to us. By the way, Kevin, I've been telling everybody that holy smokes, that Serial Brain 2 series. I watched that thing all the way down here. That is unbelievable, Sarge. I don't know if you can put that in the chat or not. I don't know how you would do that, but folks, holy. This is a spiritual battle that most of us still haven't figured this out. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and how they've infiltrated into the government. So, Kevin, I don't know if you can stick that down in the chat or not, but folks, if you have the ability, if Kevin puts that in the chat, and you have the ability to watch it, Kevin, you said it was 16 parts. I was only able to find 14 of them. I watched every one of those coming down here. My goodness. So it is a spiritual war that we're fighting. Mark, yeah. Comes yelling at me. I got to get in the van here. Go ahead.
Yeah, part 14's not out yet. He's got 13 done.
I mean, it was pretty riveting. And for those of you who are, I'm getting in the van here. For those of you who do watch those, here's what I did. You can put it on 1.5 speed. Actually, I played it on 1.75 speed on YouTube, and it goes a lot faster. I watch those things in a pretty short period of time. Some of them are only like 7 minutes. Some of them are maybe 20 minutes, but every one of them, one builds upon the other. Kevin, if you can, stick that thing in the chat so people can see about that. So we appreciate your prayers. I'm convinced of this, that we're getting a lot of disinformation from the government or from whoever, that the last thing that they want, listen, I'm not doubting the fact that we may be running into some opposition here, but I believe a lot of it's just disinformation. They don't want 100,000 people here. They don't want it, right? They don't want that. So they're trying to do everything they can to scare us away. And I hugged my wife tight when we left yesterday, and I'll hug her tomorrow when I get home. And at some point, you know, we got to stand up and say no, right? And I can't think of a better, more clear issue to do it than the idea of weapons, the right to keep and bear arms. And as I said earlier, the church hadn't got that one figured out. So that's one of the reasons why we're down here. So Sarge, thanks for forwarding me all that stuff. That's all been good. And I'm not dissing or making fun of anybody who's, man, I've got people who send us, Coach, we're praying for you, and Coach, you got to watch this, and Coach, you got to watch that, and Coach, watch your back, and you know they're going to do this. They got snipers on the roof, and they got snipers down in the sewers, and they got snipers hiding behind poles, and they got snipers. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. What am I supposed to do? Sit home, say, oh, well, they got snipers. I ain't going there. That's what they're trying to do to us, I think, folks. So, you know, if I get shot today, that'd be jackpot, wouldn't it? What would be the odds of getting shot in a group of 100,000 people and they pick you off? They'll name a high school after me. Hey, it'll be a gay-free high school, though. It'll be a gay-free one. All right, we can watch. We'll take that one. Anybody else? Come on in here. I can maybe get some of these guys to chat back here. Come on. Keep this thing lively. Roger's driving his car.
Hey, Coach. I'd like to read part of the preamble you presented to us.
Okay.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Hang on a minute. We hold these truths. Truths is what we talk about on this show all the time. If it ain't truth, why are you holding on to it? If it isn't truth, why are you fighting for it? If it isn't truth, why are you doing everything you can to try to convince others? We hold these truths to be
obvious, self-evident. And what are they? That all men are created equal. Go ahead, Jeff.
That all men are created equal.
That's the truth.
That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights.
That's the truth.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In that order, folks, don't ever miss that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In that order. No life, no liberty. No liberty, no pursuit of happiness. So it starts at the very right to life, which, by the way, that'll preach. We have no constitutional rights if we don't defend the rights of the unborn to live. No rights. It's an unalienable, it's a self-evident truth. Life, then liberty, then the pursuit of happiness. Now understand this, that your right to pursue happiness does not trump somebody else's liberty. Just because somebody wants to cram homosexuality down our throat because they say it's their right, well, it doesn't trump my liberty. Right? It doesn't trump that, right? Their pursuit of happiness does not trump my liberty. That's the battle we're fighting. Go ahead, Jeff.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men.
Wait a minute. To do what? To secure these rights? What rights? Those God-given rights, those self-evident God-given rights? Is that what we're talking about here? See, the sentence flows together. It flows together. We can't hyphenate sentences and pull phrases out here. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator, certain inalienable rights among them, life, liberty, pursuit, and happiness. And to secure these rights, not to grant them, the rights are already ours. To secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men. What? Deriving their just powers from who? From those of us in the van. And we're facing a situation. Sorry, Jeff, I'm on this rant. We're facing a situation right now where we're going to go down here to Richmond, Virginia, and the government's against us. Do you understand that? They're against us. So government, we're going to have to stand up and fight and push back for government of, by, and for the people. And we've shirked our responsibility, and that's why we've gotten into the mess that we're in. Larry wanted to say something, although Larry, you got to speak up loud here, bud.
Okay, Coach, you just touched on the subject I want to cover for a second. You know, according to the Constitution, there is a higher authority than the Supreme Court.
It's the truth, self-evident truth.
And you know what that higher authority is? It's the first three words of the preamble. We the people, because it is we the people that ultimately established the Constitution. Therefore, since we established it, we trump it. The problem is we have abrogated our position. We got to take it back.
Amen. Now, listen, I got to say this for Right Wing Watch, who I know is watching very closely today. Larry just quoted the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution. And
in the preamble?
No.
Sorry about that.
No, but Jeff's doing the same thing. Jeff's reading the Declaration of Independence, and they're going to say to you, well, that wasn't really See, the Declaration of Independence was the mission statement, and then it led to the Constitution, right? So you can't really separate those two things together. So when you start a business, you have a mission statement, and so the mission statement was the Declaration of Independence. Then we fought the war, and the war came to an end, and then they established the Constitution. The preamble to the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, provide for the common defense, promote for the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do hereby ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Although I may have left a phrase out. Those two are not the same. But we have to understand if I had it in front of me, Jeff, you really hit on a nerve here. If I had the Declaration of Independence in front of me, you'd find out that they are doing right now exactly the same thing the king was doing. In fact, in the Declaration, if you read down there further, one of the charges that they had against the king was that they were having what they called pretended legislation. Stop a minute. Jeff Klein here. See how smart Jeff Klein is. Jeff, what's pretended legislation? Pretended legislation. Hey, that's in the Declaration of Independence. Pretended legislation. What is pretended legislation?
I'll be honest with you, Coach. I don't know.
Well, what does it mean to pretend?
Declaration of Church and State.
Falsify something.
Huh? What's it mean to pretend?
Declaration of Church and State.
Yeah, pretend legislation. They tell you that it's a law, and it's not a law. Pretended legislation. There is no separation between the church and state.
Amen.
That's pretended legislation. Roe versus yes. Wade is pretended legislation.
Yes.
You go wherever you want to go right now. You go find the highest paid lawyer that you can find and say to him, please, would you show me the law that legalizes abortion? Can you show me the law? Can you show me the law that went to the House of Representatives and they passed it and went to the Senate and they passed it and went to the president and he signed this? Can you show us the law? Well, no, they can't. Why? Because it's pretended legislation. Can you show us where there's a separation between the church and state? Can you show us where the House brought it up and then the Senate passed it and then the president signed it saying there's no prayer allowed in schools? No, it's pretended legislation. You get what they've done to us, see? So now they're trying to pretend and tell us that they have the right to take away your right to keep and bear arms. That's pretended legislation. If you go back to the Declaration of Independence, Jared's probably got that up on the screen right now. I can't see him. He probably does. You'll see it's right in there. And so that is the battle. We are fighting that here today. Pretended legislation that we're not allowed to have guns. That's pretend legislation. Fake. Fake news, right?
Go ahead. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, this sentence part of it really sticks out because my representative says, I don't need to talk to you. I don't have to talk to you. But this says he does.
What
he says
does?
Here, driving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
Mm-hmm.
We are the governed. They work for us.
I do not consent. I do not consent, right? I do not consent.
Amen.
How about this one? First Amendment, right? Let me get, help me out. Somebody start the First Amendment for me. Somebody start that for me. Congress shall make no law. Time out a minute. A couple things you can get from that very sentence. Congress makes laws. Doesn't say judges shall make no law. It says Congress shall make no laws. Congress, who makes all the laws, shall make no laws regarding what? The establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, right? Right? Free exercise of your faith. Congress can't make any laws about it. Separation between the church and state is what do they call that, Jeff? What do they call that?
Pretended
legislation, right? And at the bottom of that First Amendment, it says this. And the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, down here where we are today in Richmond, Virginia, they've made parts of the government, the Capitol building, off limits. That's unconstitutional. Why? Because I have the right to petition my government for a redress of grievances. And if I can't go to where they are, they've restricted. We're so stupid, aren't we? The crap we put up with, huh? We're so stupid. And then the government and the media and all those lefties will talk about how we are the protesters. We're the protesters. We are the unruly ones. The righteous, holy, peaceful governments just trying to protect everybody. And it's these white guys with guns. What are we going to do? See how they turned it on us? That's what we're dealing with. And unfortunately, because most of you have been raised in government schools, you agree with it. You don't understand this pretended legislation. You want to make a dollar? Want to make $10? Go around and ask somebody, even a grown person like Jeff. Tell them how a law is made. I tell them to tell you how a law is made. Because they believe the Supreme Court makes them, right? So you go around and say, tell them, hey, did you flunked social studies in the eighth grade. When you eighth grade, you guys had eighth grade social studies, didn't you? How's the law made? Make them a bet. You'll be a rich man by the end of the day. They don't have any idea how laws are made, right? That's what they've done to us. Whoa, I'm sorry, dropping my phone. I got a truckload of guys in here would love to be yelling too, but it's just kind of hard to do it on this phone. Yeah.
Coach.
Yep.
Your role today is being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper.
Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. They're not the same thing. Randy, if you don't mind me running down this rabbit trail a minute. When I was a kid, there were five of us in the family, four boys, and we fought night and day, man. Night and day. And my mom was the peacekeeper. She tried to keep us separated all the time. I'd be punching Dan, and Dan would be punching Joe, and Joe would be kicking Bill, and we'd be fighting like crazy. And what would my mom say?
Wait.
You wait till your father gets home. Because why? He was the peacemaker. Dad was the peacemaker, right? And what does the Bible say, Randy? Blessed are the peacekeepers? Is that what it says? No. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's your point, right, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Didn't mean to walk all over you there. Randy, I'm looking at my screen. All I can see is me. I don't even know who's in the queue here today. So go ahead and finish that thought.
Coach, I'm getting to see you guys in the van there. I tell you what, I feel blessed to be part of the group like
this.
Look
at these guys. There's 14 of us in this, and there's four other cars following around behind us. Just peacemakers. We got, blessed are the peacemakers. We got peacemakers in here, right?
Coach.
And like I told the FBI when they came to visit me, they said, are you inciting violence? I said, hell no! Trying to stop it!
Yeah.
Dave, right? Yeah, Raj.
I just want you to know I'm in the car caravan. We're a couple of cars behind you. And I just want you to know, if it gets rough and tumbled in there, you're on your own.
I believe that. I really believe that.
This car really doesn't. We're not old school where they go back in and get the last guy.
Yeah, yeah. You're peacekeepers. you guys are peacekeepers.
Yeah, we're the new school. We're the new school. The new school says let's roll.
With
or without you.
How can this be? $2.19 for gas. Here in Washington D.C. $2.19
in Mount Vernon.
$2.79 in Ohio. What's going on here? I'm going to petition the government for a redress of my grievances with gas prices here. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Dale here. You ready? Okay, so I spent the first 20 minutes of the opening of our service talking about guns, gun safety, guns in our church.
You're the man, Dale. You're the man.
Security in our church. But then I think I touched on something, brother, that I believe was from the Spirit of the Lord that I believe that we're dealing with in the Church of America because it's a historical thing. And, man, the Lord brought me just out of nowhere to the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Everybody is familiar with Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. Everybody's excited about all the victory that went on there. But when you read the history of Nehemiah, what transpired from chapter 1 to chapter 2 is a clear illustration of what's going on in the church and what's happening. See, Nehemiah, he was a governor. He was a man of high position in the Persian Empire. Persia had conquered Babylon. Babylon had conquered the Israelites. They were in captivity. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. You're going to be in there for 70 years. So Persia conquers them. So word gets back to Nehemiah of the desolation that had transpired in Israel. The walls were down. The gates were burned. And then, here it is. This is the kicker. Nehemiah wept and fasted because of the news. Brother, Nehemiah... So here comes Nehemiah to the king, and he's a cupbearer, and he's bringing the cup to him. And the king looks at him and says, Nehemiah, why is your face so downcast? And all the time that I've known you, your face has never been sad like this. You ready?
Yeah.
See, Nehemiah was satisfied in his captivity. He was a captive.
Change the light, huh?
Brother, he was satisfied all these years in his captivity until his eyes were open, And brother, the church has been in captivity, brother, under wicked rulers, but our eyes are beginning to open.
Amen, Dale. Amen.
That's good, Dale. Hey, folks, very good.
Is it righteous to follow unrighteous government?
No.
Is it righteous to follow unrighteous government? No. Is it righteous for Christians to obey laws regarding the killing of innocent babies? Is that what a Christian's supposed to do? Well, we've been buffaloed.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I heard an audio sermon. It was a foreigner talking at a church in America, and he was preaching and referring to world events through biblical means, and people were saying, amen, amen, amen. And he interrupted and said, "How dare you? How you be self-righteous? Your America, your nation is being destroyed within. Stop being so self-righteous. Do something about it."
Amen. You'll get me in trouble, Jeff. Amen. Amen. So that's where it is. See, a false message coming from the pulpits about righteousness. Righteousness. Remember the Black Robe Regiment, right? How have we been so anesthetized, those of us in the church? Have we become so oblivious to the cry of the preborn and the child trafficking? How can any of us go to sleep at night knowing that those kids are being tormented? Those little kids are being trafficked. Why doesn't that bother the conscience of a man rather than the Green Bay Packers getting their butts beat? Why do the Packers trouble us more than the little babies? And it's because our consciences have been seared.
Yep.
If it doesn't affect me, then it doesn't really matter. And that's been the message coming out. Think about it. It's a message coming out of America's pulpits. It's all about you.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, the Hebrews, when God was bringing them out of Egypt, right, they wanted freedom, but they didn't want to pay any price for it. When they came out, all of them were whining and crying and saying, "Let's go back, because at least we had a warm bed and food."
That's right. That's right. What's
going on, Coach? There is security in bondage.
There is security in bondage.
That is where these, a lot of Americans are, and the church is definitely, they don't want to pay the price for freedom. They'd rather be in bondage and have plenty of food and have entertainment. You have to make this decision, Coach, to get off your butt and go stand or stay home and just stay in bondage.
Patrick Henry, in his famous speech, said, "May his chains fall lightly. May his chains fall lightly." See, we think we're free. I'm going to say this. My daughter's car broke down. My daughter's a stay-at-home mom. They've got three kids. And the husband works hard, and Maggie stays home and raises the children. And another big expense, the daggone, what do they call it, Jeff? Not the timing belt, the big thing in this thing broke. It's like $2,500 to have it repaired. Maggie trying to work a little bit part-time to make ends meet for this family of three whose father works and the kids stay home and they're intact family and they're God-fearing people and honest people. And I'm thinking, I was enraged. And I thought about how much of Maggie's money and Isaiah's money was being sucked up by the government. And that trying to force Maggie to not be able to stay at home and raise her kids. Make it so hard to live off the money that you make that both of you have to live. And when they have to work, when they do that, they destroy the family, right? They destroy the family. And I saw something today, Social Security, illegal aliens are getting like $2,500 a month. And then an old guy like Ricky over here, he gets $1,500 a month. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, Ricky, right? So we don't want to talk about this stuff. I do.
Larry only gets $900, he
said. At what point does taxation become criminal and overbearing to those of us who are doing it, right? See, they know something we don't know. You know what they know? They know the money's fake. They know the money isn't even real. They understand that a paper dollar is just a piece of paper. We're the dummies. We think it's valuable. See, they don't get it. Do you think those high rollers, you think they worry about paying their credit cards? Huh? You think so? You really do? No, that fake money comes flowing right back there into it. So, again, don't forget that the Boston Tea Party is one of the things that led to the American Revolution, and that was government taking money it didn't belong to. Where I come from, that's called thievery. It's called theft.
1.3 trillion.
Hey, Coach.
There's only $1.3 trillion in circulation. Yet we're $21 trillion in debt. Some doesn't add up, does it? Yeah, go ahead, Jack. Jack, I know I punched you right in the chest, didn't I?
Yeah, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Just wanted to say that the thievery really started in earnest with the passage of the 16th Amendment.
Yep. Which is pretended legislation as well. Go ahead.
Yep.
Right, right, right. By the way, voluntary, your income tax is voluntary. Yeah, with a gun to your head. You volunteer to do it? Where I come from, they call that rape. Huh? Don't they? Force you to do it? Hey, take off your clothes and we'll make love and I won't hurt you. Right? That's no different. Makes people nervous what I'm talking about here. Makes people nervous. But this is the heart of it, man. You control a man's pocketbook, you control his life. And it's insidious what's going on. So Coach, you a tax protester too? No, I'm just an American citizen with unalienable rights. And I'm here in Richmond, Virginia to petition my government for a redress of my grievances. I got a lot of them. Somebody else come in.
I was just going to say the conversation is invigorating. That's what draws me to the queue.
Uh-huh.
It's what draws me to the three men that are in my car and a little caravan here.
Right.
It's invigorating. Men want this. Men want to be doing things.
They do.
And, you know, you wake up here and you got, you know, 20, 25 like-minded men. You're getting in the car caravan. You have a cup of coffee and you got a purpose.
Amen.
And I don't know all what will be accomplished today, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm with some men that are like-minded, and I like it.
Amen. And I'm doing it for my posterity, by the way.
Yes.
Posterity, for those yet to come. My grandchildren. I don't know what. Last week I did that thing, Nothing Really Matters to Me. I don't know if I ever did read that or not. Nothing. Remember Queen, don't you? Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters but me. But see, he said to me, but it's but me. Nothing really matters but me in the church, outside the church. It's all about me. Nothing really matters but me. And we're going to survive as a people. We got to shake that dog off for sure.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The movement in our nation isn't, people think it's about Donald Trump. They think, well, we love what Trump's doing. Really, what all God is doing, he's lighting people's hearts with a tool. He's just using Trump to wake them up.
Amen.
And to take back the government. And that's all he's doing. It's not to let him do it. He's waking up the people. I'm telling you, I see it all across the world.
I do too, Randy. And I say to those naysayers, it isn't about Trump. Time out a minute. Who do you want in there? Right now, who you want in there? Hillary? Oh, I know. What's his name? Marco. What was his name down there in Florida?
Marco Rubio.
We need him. We need Ted Cruz in there. We had Ted Cruz. He's a constitutional. We would be okay. That's who we need. Jeb Bush. Give me Jeb Bush. Who? Right now, who would you put in there? Say, well, I don't like Trump. Well, I didn't like Obama.
But you look at Coach.
The church wants Barney Frank.
Woody Hayes said this.
Look at the football player making a tackle with a smile on his face. Look at the Black American approval amongst Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's the same scenario that Nehemiah had. He was comfortable in his captivity. The Black Americans have been comfortable in the welfare captivity. And brother, their eyes and a bright light shined out of a dark place, brother. And man, when people taste that, they see that, they rally to the flag. I think we're about to invoke on a second revolutionary war.
Amen. 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 Hey, Dale, they're going to call you racist.
Good.
That's all right.
I'm racing to heaven.
You're not allowed to speak the truth.
I'm racing to heaven, Coach. I'm racing to him. In the Declaration of Independence, and it talks about the government. It says when these things come to pass that the government violates these things, it says it's not only the right, but it is the duty of the people to dismember or take down and remove that form of government. Brother, that's what's going on right now.
It says it's our duty. It says in the Declaration, it is our duty, it says, to throw off such government. It's our duty, boys and girls. Robert Klaus, get ready to read there a minute for me, okay? It's our duty. It's our duty. Hey, listen, folks, it's not our duty. It's not our Christian duty to obey tyrannical government. Sorry. 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 That's not our duty. If honest people don't throw off dishonest government, something wrong, isn't it? So in other words, we live by a different set of rules. I obey all the rules. I pay all my taxes. I don't make any waves. And then the Hillary and those guys, they get to steal everything. That's not right, is it? I don't think that's right. They don't follow the laws. They don't get prosecuted under the laws. We're in a mess.
Hey, Coach.
Okay, Robert. Jeff's here poking me in the elbows. He wants to hear your reading for today. Maybe you can pull that up there for us. I can't see it, Robert, so you're on your own.
Coach, he said he's away from his desk. Someone will have to read it.
Oh, okay. What, his desk talks? No, just kidding. Just kidding. Does somebody want to help him read it? Somebody want to read it for us today?
Read it, Dale.
I'll do it, Coach. I've got the book.
All right, good.
Get to the right page. I am so, man, I wished I could be with you guys there today.
Wish you could too.
I just pray a hand of protection over you guys, you wear the full armor of God and you stand forward and stand fast.
Amen. We're in the Lord's hands, brother. We're in the Lord's hands.
January 20th, if we are to better the future, we must disturb the present. That was Catherine Booth. The last move of God will be led by those who pursue the God of heaven, who please him, proclaim his gospel, seek his kingdom, and make certain their calling and election. Those who continue to sleep in and follow after the modern politically correct, spiritually corrupt, and biblically compromised version of Christianity offered by the God of this world will be in for a rude awakening.
Amen.
They will not be able to stand in the difficult days ahead, having one foot in the world and the other foot in their mouth, amen, denying the Lord by their talk as well as their walk.
Amen.
To advance this true move of God, more Christian soldiers and brave hearts are needed who aren't in the popularity contest to win friends and influence people.
Come on,
how
brother.
How profound is that? But are compassionate to equip an army to fight the good fight and to win the real war.
Yep.
The professing church needs to return to its first love and to its original spiritual heritage and heed biblical exhortations such as recorded by Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. The professing church has said, we will not walk in it. The apostasy is returning today, for my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways.
Go,
from the ancient paths to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, to make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing.
Wow.
Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity.
Wow. That don't sound good.
The winds of Eastern religion, emergent, New Age, and contemplative spirituality are now blowing through the church, causing people to vainly search for the God within while rejecting the God above. Amen. And the day of calamity is right at the door.
Amen.
Jesus came to be Lord as well as Savior. Too many are consumed with going within or concerned about going without when they should be committed to going on with Him. The best life now is when the only life is Him. The race will be won by those who make Him number one. Hallelujah. I had not read this, and how profound is that for today's message?
Amen. Well, it's everywhere, man. It's everywhere. Hey, listen, I want you to think about this. I'm gonna close it down there. We had this discussion on the way down here today, and maybe I'll do a show on it. Do you want, as a leader of our country, a man who is moral in his own life, or a man who is moral in the decisions he makes for the nation? Are we better off with a Christian George Bush, faithful to his wife, whatever, and turns his ear away from the cry of the unborn? Or is it better to have an adulterous lifestyle like Donald Trump has lived, and yet at the time of need, stands up for the pre-born babies? Which one? What a discussion that would be, huh? Say, oh, coach, there you go. You're defending. No, I'm not. Huh? I don't want somebody to act like a Christian if they don't do the right thing. What good does that do us? Boy, he's honest. He wouldn't steal from me, and he's faithful to his wife. Yeah, let babies die. Won't do anything about babies, right? So what type of leadership are we looking for in America? What type of leadership? We want holy men in office. If they rule like holy men. But if they're just holy men and they don't rule with holy decrees, what good are they?
They're H-O-L-E. H-O-L-E.
Yeah. They got holes in them, right? They got holes in their theology. Boy, we got a lot of stuff we got to rethink, right? Remember we started out talking about blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Pappy Bush was a peacekeeper, wasn't he? George H.W. Bush, right? That's really good. That worked out real good, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's why we're down here in Virginia today. God bless y'all. Got to run. I don't even know what time it is. You guys stay in here, chat all you want to. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's 10 up, Coach.
All right. You guys finish right here. We're looking for a place to park. I think we ought to end the show and then let those guys chew the fat until other people get the cue as well. Bless you all.
Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them real quick before you end it, Jared. How's
good
that sound?
Deal. Father, yeah, pray for us.
Hallelujah, Father. You are bringing a light to a real dark place. And Father, I pray, God, that truth will arise. I pray that truth will not only arise up in my brothers, but it'll come forth from their mouth, Father God, and it'll pierce the darkness in the hearts of man. Father, I do pray, Lord, that you cover them, that you are the shield about them, that you go before them, and Father, you are the shield behind them. Lord, I pray wherever they set their feet, wherever they trodden their feet, Father God, Lord, that they are proclaiming it and declaring it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we pray this, as Larry says, it is that thy kingdom come this day and your will would be done in these men, no matter what it is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, don't ever forget Jimmy Carter taught Sunday school. Want him back? We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.
Hey,